Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Well, hi, my name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at True North Church. So glad you joined us today. I'm doing a series. We're in a series called Miracles right now. And I want a question I want to ask you today as we talk about the feeding of the 5,000 is, have you ever had a problem that was so big you didn't know what to do about it and how to handle it? I came across this insurance claim, this story about an insurance claim from a construction accident. I want to read it real quick. It's hilarious. It's long enough I need to read. It says, I'm writing a response to your request for additional information. So the insurance company was asking for additional information. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put poor planning as the cause for my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more, and I trust that the following details are sufficient. I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carrying the bricks down from a 6-story building one by one, I decided to lower them by the use of a barrel and using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building on the 6th floor. Securing the rope at the ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of brick. You will note in block 11 of the accident report form, I weigh 135 pounds. That's the problem. Due to my surprise of being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather quick pace or rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 3rd floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull, broken collarbone, slowed only slightly. I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until my fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep in the pulley. Fortunately, by this time, I regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground. The bottom fell out of the barrel. And devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed only 50 pounds. I refer again to block number 11, my weight. As you might imagine, I began my rapid descent down the side of the building in the vicinity of the 3rd floor. I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles, the lacerations of my legs and my lower body. The encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell onto the pile of bricks. And fortunately, only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks, unable to move, and watching the barrel 6 stories above, I again lost my presence of mind. I let go of the rope. Now, how many of you guys have ever had a day at work like that? And, you know, kind of a funny story. This guy had a big problem, and they just kind of built. And the disciples one day find themselves in a remote place, and there's no place to buy food. There's 5,000 people that are flogging to hear Jesus. And there's a big problem. There's a big need. They don't know how to meet the need. I want to look at this story today in Mark chapter 6. I want to take a look at the story where Jesus feeds the 5,000 at the start. It says, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. In fact, the context is Jesus had sent them out 2 by 2, and they came back to give stories and miracle reports. They were tired. And it says, many who saw them were leaving recognized them, and they ran on foot to all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they're like sheep without a shepherd. I want to break this down. Jesus had compassion on them. Break down the word compassion. The first, The first part of the word compassion's compass. And the last part's passion. And I could preach a whole series on what's your passion and what's the compass you have for your passion or your compassion. But Jesus had passion and compassion. And he saw what he said were sheep without a shepherd. And so he began to teach them many things. And it says, by this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. You ever focused on how remote the place is sometimes you live? How difficult the resources, it's late in the day, it's a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away. What people? The people Jesus had a compass and a passion to reach. And the people he wanted to reach out to with compassion, teach them. Send them away. The disciples are tired, it's late, it's remote, lack the resources. And send them away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and the villages and buy themselves something to eat. In other words, there's no food around here. It goes on, says, but he answered them, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half a year's wages. How many ever had a problem that was gonna cost you half of your year's wages? How many ever had a medical situation or a financial situation that was gonna take half of your year's wages and suck them up like a vacuum, they're gone. And so they see this big problem. It could take 6 months' wages to feed these people. And they said that would take more than a half a year. And it says, and we are we to go and spend that much on bread and give them something to eat? Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties and taking the five loaves. In fact, I want to just, this isn't part of the lesson today, but how do you feed 5,000? You start by feeding 50. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You start with just a little and it's just, go on. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. And as he divided the two fish among them all, they ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread. And it's interesting. It said that he held the bread up and he blessed it and then he broke it. And that word break, literally that word break means to break into parts. He broke it into parts, and then it said the disciples distributed them and divided them, and that word distribute means to divide into pieces. So I think we could probably talk today about how do you break down your need for a miracle before you break down? How do you break it down into pieces? How do we? See, I believe this. I want to break this passage down because I believe there's truths in this passage to help. Some of you, your problems are so big. Your need for a miracle, maybe it's you need God to touch your physical body and do a physical miracle. You need him to break in right now and to touch something and transform it because you look and go, I don't have the finances to pay for what's going on. Maybe you're in a financial situation or maybe relationally you feel stuck. Feel like there's no hope. Or maybe you're in a situation emotionally where you go, I've spent money on counseling. My mind, the mind monsters, the pain, maybe the abuse of the past has you trapped and you don't know how you'll ever get past where you're at. You don't know how. You need a miracle, and you don't have the time, the money. You're in a remote place emotionally, in a remote place physically. You're in a place, or maybe you need deliverance from self-destructive behavior. You've tried everything, and you don't feel like your problem's too big. This miracle shows how God can break down before you break it down, and he can heal you. He can do a miracle. So I want to talk about four truths today. The feeding of the 5,000, or the feeding of this miracle teaches. Number one, understand You either need a miracle or God wants you to be a conduit for a miracle. Maybe you're listening today and you need a miracle. In fact, here's a thought for you. If you have a problem and you need a miracle, you're a candidate. You're a candidate for a miracle. And second of all, think this, your problem is the front row ticket to a miracle. If you have a, see, here's the thing. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches in glory. If you're watching right now, no matter what time of day it is, no matter if it's the live stream or if it's on CBS later on, I don't know your situation, but I know this. If you have a problem, you're the candidate for a miracle. But I also want to let you know, if you're watching this today and you don't have a problem, or you might have a problem and someone else has a problem, you could be the conduit God wants to use to bring a miracle to someone else. I remember when I was traveling with 100 students once. We were living in Las Vegas and we were on a choir tour. We stopped in Southside Modesto, and Southside of Modesto was predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. And this was back in the early 2000s, and there's lots of gang activity late 90s, early 2000s in parts of Modesto. And we were in Southside of Modesto at Hispanic church. And it was kind of fun because I had kids from upper middle class to low income, all these different, on this choir tour, and we're knocking on doors, inviting people to our outdoor rally, and we set up some choir stands. We had a dance team, and we're gonna just do an outdoor concert. And hundreds of people there are in the neighborhoods. They're kind of grilling out of their front, out of their garages, and they got Oakland Raider gear everywhere, and people are driving by with cars that you could feel before you saw them. You know what I'm talking about? The big old bass, boom, boom. Some of my young ladies are getting whistled at by some guys, and they're kind of a little scared. And so here we are, out of our comfort zone. And I remember I'm there, and I'm thinking, like, I'm probably not the best preacher to preach to this environment or to this segment of the population, the Southside Modesto. I'm kind of white, and there's a bunch of Hispanics there. And can I connect with the gospel? All those things, and a lot of them are watching because I've got a dance team, a pretty girl's dancing, and right across the street from where we're preaching, there's a home that has a palm reader. It says palm reader, and literally has a picture of a palm painted on top of the roof, with the words palm reader and tarot card readings in the windows. And I'm like, I'm kind of feeling a little bit over. I kind of feel like I'm not designed to be in this environment. And the choir sang and the dance teams danced, and 100 people probably watching the neighborhood and people gathering. And then I get to the microphone and I realize, I said something. I said, you know, I probably don't have anything to give you, but I have someone named Jesus who can heal you. In fact, I want to pray right now before I even preach. I believe God can do miracles right now in this neighborhood. And I had everyone bow their heads and we're praying, and I think half my students' eyes were still open. And I'm praying with one eye open. And as I'm praying, I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, someone has the tumor on their neck the size of a golf ball. And so I'm just praying. I said, and right now God's gonna take the tumor on the back of someone's neck the size of a golf ball and shrink it. And the moment I said that, someone behind me begins to scream in Spanish, Gloria a Dios, aleluya. And I'm like, open my eyes. I finished my prayer, and one of my leaders comes over and brings this woman, and this woman grabs the microphone. I'm thinking, like, okay, I lost control of the outdoor concert I'm in charge of. And she begins to speak in Spanish as someone interprets in English. And she begins to say, you all know that I had a tumor on the back of my neck and I was given 6 months to live. But as this man was praying, the tumor on the back of my neck shrank. And then she says, and so all of you and all my relatives better listen to what this man of God has to say right now. And I can tell you, it was incredible. And I preached a simple salvation message, and people came, and they started laying, and my students started laying hands on these students. Why? You're either in need of a miracle today, or God wants to use you as a conduit for a miracle today. I know right now there's social distancing and we can't gather in the church building right now and all that, but guess what? Guys, this is a church building. This is not the church. You're the church. The building's closed, but the church is open. And if you're in need of a miracle today, my God can touch your need. But if you also can be the conduit, if you're watching, for God to use you for a miracle. The second truth that I believe this passage teaches us is number two. God doesn't need suggestions. He needs participation. See, here's the truth. Without God, you cannot. Without you, he will not. See, the disciples came to him. And what did the disciples do? They came to him and they said, hey, it's late in the day, Jesus. And this is a remote place. I suggest that you send them away so they can get something to eat. They can buy something in a neighboring village. And then Jesus says, wait a second here. I don't want your suggestions. How many of you know there's lots of ways we can figure out how to fix people's problems by sending them somewhere else? God doesn't want your suggestions on how God might think of fixing the problem here. See, sometimes I think you look, well, it's just Fairbanks, Alaska. What good can happen in Fairbanks? Or, you know, we don't have the resources we need. God doesn't need your suggestions as much as he needs your participation. Jesus says, they come, that's half a month's wage, it's 6 months' wages. Another version says 8 months' wages, half a year's income. We should send them away. And I think God is saying, hey, you give them something to eat. You do it. You participate. See, here's the thing. Church is more than live stream if you're watching it right now. Church is more than gathering in a building. Church is more than being in a Zoom life group. Church is us participating with God to see God do things around our city. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. God, would you use me? Could you use me to participate in miracles all around my city? Jesus used them to break the bread, participate in the miracle. See, it's amazing. I think sometimes we think God's just going to do miracles and we're not going to have to do our part. I've said this before and I'll say it again. When you come to an altar and you say, God, take away my addiction. God, take away my marriage problems. God, take away this challenge. And you don't walk away from the altar and do everything in your power to see the miracle happen, your prayer wasn't sincere. You want God. God, I think you should take this away. God, help me with this. And God goes, what are you going to do? No prayer is sincere unless you walk away from an altar and ask God to participate with your prayer. You pray as if everything depends upon God, but you work as if everything depends upon you. I think we'd see more miracles if we realized God wants to use us to participate with him to see it happen. See, without God, you cannot. Without you, I don't think he will. God wants you to be a part of it. The third truth that this story brings us is this, is don't focus on what you don't have, focus on who he is. How many times do we focus on the things we don't have? In verse 38, it says, how many loaves do you have? He asked, go and see. They found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. In other words, they had to focus on what? So many of us focus on what we don't have. Who's Jesus? Just a few chapters earlier, Jesus is the one that they wake up in a boat because he's asleep. They're traveling from here to there, and they're stuck in a place called this, a place of a storm. And they wake Jesus up and say, don't you care if we drown? Jesus gets up, and he calms the waves and the winds. And says, peace be still. And they say, who is this that winds and the waves obey? It's Jesus. God has the power to calm the storms. The very next story, he casts the demon out of a demon-possessed man. Why? Because Jesus has power over the supernatural, spiritual realms of this world. The very next story, he heals a woman who'd been had an issue of blood for 13 years because God has power over the physical. Then he sees them do miracles. He sends them out. They do miracles. They come back. And now they're here. And Jesus is going, go get some fish. And they're thinking like, all we have. Now, I don't know about you. Let me ask you this question. If all you had was five loaves and 2 fish, I think I'd have brought 4 loaves and 1 fish to Jesus. I'd have had my fish sandwich. Because if there's 5,000 people, how do you feed 5,000 people? With 5 fish and five loaves and two fish. It doesn't add up. But here's what I know about Jesus. It might not add up on your calculator, but it lines up with the word of God. Little is much when he is in it. I don't know. You might go, I'm sorry, it's 6 months' wages. And God goes, not in my hands. You watch what I can do. You plus me is the majority. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It might be late in the day. It might be a remote place for you. It might be 6 months' wages or 8 months' wages, depending upon your translation. But let me tell you something right now. When you have Jesus on your side, it's enough. Five loaves and two fish. How do you eat a whale? One bite at a time. I've been in Barrow before. When they pulled big whales up onto the shore, you eat it one slice at a time, one bite. But it doesn't start. It starts out like this, but break it down. In the book of Acts, there's a man by the gate, beautiful. And he's laying there. And it's interesting, that story, there's a man who's by the gate, beautiful. And while he's by this gate, the Bible says that he was begging, as was his custom. And he was there at the time that the Jews would come and worship the Lord in the temple. And as they're coming, this man's begging. Peter and John come, as was their custom. And this guy's begging, and he's begging for what? Coins. And he had handouts a lot. But this guy didn't need a handout. He needed a hand up. And there's some of us that enable people to stay where they're at way too long because we give them handouts rather than what they really need is from God. And the disciples said, silver and gold we do not have. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you, get up. In other words, they didn't focus on what they didn't have. They didn't have silver and gold, but they gave him what they did have. I'll tell you what happens. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. Because when you take what you have and you give it to him, see, who is he? He's the one that can walk on water. He's the one that can calm the storm. He's the God who's above all this. Silver and gold, I read a book once called The Toilet Paper Executive. Interesting book. You don't have to read it because I'll give you the gist of it right now. The first chapter started out with, have you ever sat down to use the restroom? And you're in a hurry to get in there. And you sat down and you did your business. And then you look over and realize there's only one piece of toilet paper left. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. And if you raised your hand, I couldn't see you right now anyway. But maybe you want to chat in the response. This has ever happened to you? Just let us know in the response side over here. This happened to me. You ever been somewhere where you only realized you had one or two sheets and how many you had to be creative and use what you had? You can focus on what you don't have or realize all I got is two sheets. What do I do with the two sheets I got? How many of you guys realize that if all you got is two loaves or five loaves and two fish, you got to do the business with what you have. Take just what you have. And the last thought is this. Understand God will only give you what he knows will flow through you. In verse 41, it says, taking the five loaves and two fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. And that word broke means to break into parts. He broke into the parts. And so he had five loaves, and he broke those five loaves into 12 parts and gave them to the disciples. And it says, and then he gave the disciples and distribute them to the people. So he also divided the two fish. And so two fish into six pieces of fish and distribute them to the people. So he also divided the two fish and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls. Fulls of broken pieces of bread. Now, here's what's interesting. Is I used to travel as an evangelist full time. And for three summers, I would do 8 to 10 summer camps across the nation, mostly on the West Coast, you know, Midwest over. And I was flying from Minneapolis to a small community. I think it was Bismarck, North Dakota. And I was headed to preach there for the weekend and then go to preach a camp there in North Dakota. And someone was flying on that flight and it was going to be helping lead music. They were the opening band for the state fair. And It was the band Little Texas. And I was sitting next to Dwayne O'Brien, who was the rhythmic guitar he played guitar rhythmically and sang backup for Little Texas. He's been with the band the whole time. And he asked me what I did, and I told him what, you know, he told me what he did and kind of told me about, and I don't listen to country music, but they wrote Big Texas or God Bless Texas. And in 1994, they sold 500,000 copies of their debut album and made it big and top five for weeks on the country music scale. And he's telling me this whole thing, but he says, Mark, he said, I used to be in seminary to become a youth pastor. He said, but I got hurt by the church, so I backed away. And he says, I went and I got a degree in science education. So he says, I play lead guitar, rhythmic guitar for Little Texas, and then on the side, I write science curriculum for junior high schools. And he says, but I've come back to Christ in this process. He says, but I just travel with the band, and so it's kind of you know, and I don't want to ask about how you can play in bars and all those things and still, you know, I didn't get there. But he talked to me about it. He says, Mark, he said, you know how, he said, science proves the existence of God more than people want to give God credit for. He says, because he said, there used to be this, you know, we used to think that you could break an atom down and the basic building block of an atom was a proton, a neutron, an electron. He says, but did you know that you can break a proton, electron, and neutron down into something called a quark? I said, no, I didn't know that. He's talking to me about it. He said, do you know that you can't break a quark apart? They know, they study it, is the quark that has three components within it as well, but they can't break it apart. And he says, if they try, the energy of pulling a quark apart, literally, it would reproduce while you try to pull it apart, it would reproduce, the energy would cause it to reproduce. And I'm like sitting there like, okay, what's that? And he says, Mark, do you understand? When God fed the 5,000, God simply grabbed the bread at the quark level, the molecular level, and began to pull. And the energy of pulling a quark from the molecular, it began to expand. He said, when God says he stretched forth the heavens and the earth, could it be that God just grabbed the basic building blocks of an atom or a molecule which he created and he began to pull? He says, and then think about this. The disciples, they got 12 pieces of bread that are from 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they're breaking them and distributing. They're breaking parts down. And as they do, it begins to grow in their hands. You thought about that? What would it have been like to be a disciple that day? And you've got a small piece of bread and you're asked to go feed 5,000 people. And you're like, well, I'm gonna start with my 50 over here. I wonder how big a piece I should give them today. And they begin to break a piece off. And as they break a piece off, a piece larger than that grows in their hand. And they go, well, hey, I'll give you another. And what would happen as the bread starts growing in your hand and the fish, every time you break it, it grows. You can feel it grow in your hand. See, here's what I know is that God wants to give to you what he knows will flow through you. God wants you to be the conduit. But if you hold on to and say, I've got 5 loaves, 2 fish, and so if I eat one myself right now, I wonder if the miracle would have happened if they had their fish sandwich. What are you holding back? I believe every quark you give to God, God can pull and multiply. I believe he can multiply your resources. I believe he can multiply your dreams. I believe that he can grab your addiction at a quark level and he can pull wholeness out of it. What are you holding back from him today? Because what you give to him, he'll now flow through you with a miracle that only God can bring. I believe that that's the story, that God can grab your little and do more with it than you can. See, a biblical miracle is when there's a need sensed by a few and each individual understands their responsibility to bring what they have to Jesus, and Jesus works the miracle regardless of the odds. Friends, give him your lunch today. God has 12 basketfuls of leftovers to prove that he has more power than you could ever dream of having. I don't know where you're at today, but I know this. If you have a miracle that is, if you have a problem that's so big, I've got a God who wants to work a miracle for you. Bring your need to him or be a conduit for a miracle today. I believe that. I'm going to pray over you. But before I pray over you, maybe you're listening today and you're far from Jesus, the miracle working Jesus. I believe it's as easy as A, B, C to come to know Jesus. A, admit you've sinned. B, believe that Jesus died for you. And C, confess his sins. Confess your sins and confess him as the Lord of your life. If you're here, you've never done that before. I wanna pause and give you an opportunity to do that right now. Wherever you're at, would you bow your heads? If you're watching online or on CBS, just bow your heads and pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned, but I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. Please forgive me today. Please be my Savior and my life leader. I confess you as the Lord of my life. Help me serve you the rest of my life in Jesus' name.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.